Thanks, Susie, for reading God's word to us, and thanks to my brother, Stuart, for leading us this far, Robin, for great presentation for our children. It's great and it's very important for our children to hear the gospel of the Lord. Of course, we hear because he arose, and we shout hallelujah, Christ arose out of the grave. Great news. So on this great day of celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking at the passage that our dear sister Susie read to us, Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10, under the title, The Good News of Resurrection. It is the good news. It completes everything, and it changes everything. Had Christ not arose from the dead, there will be no gospel, no forgiveness of sin, no Christianity, no hope. But it did rise from the dead. So we are celebrating that this morning. Would you bow your head as I pray? Father God, we tend to your word, and when we open the Bible, you speak to us. We pray, Father, that by your Spirit, as you speak, you will give us grace to hear, to receive, and to apply it to our lives, because that is the highest point of the worship that we can show to you, is to listen when you speak with the attitude that is willing to obey. Help us to do that for your glory and for our edification. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The exciting news of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you will agree with me, that is the news that should be heard again and again as we talk about it to one another, as those who have encountered the risen Lord and those who believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the news that should fill our hearts with rejoicing. It should cause every Christian to rejoice, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death and gave us hope for the resurrection. Therefore, death is no longer our enemies. If you are a believer, death is your friend, because it is the way home. It changes everything, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. So we are here today simply because someone along the way took upon themselves to talk about this great news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the gospel is not a complete gospel without the presentation of his resurrection, winning victory, sealing the whole sacrifice that he did for our sin, which was given once and for all, never to be repeated again. It gives us hope to know that Jesus is alive. So I would like us to go with our imaginations to Jerusalem, where this event took place, and look in on this great event that took place early that Sunday morning. It is my prayer that God will help us by his Spirit to hear the message of the resurrection as it was shared by the angel of the Lord, the angel that came to roll away the stone. So early on the first day of the week, 3 days after his crucifixion, some of these women who have been faithfully following Jesus, serving Jesus, who have left it all for him. They have supported Jesus and faithfully served him right to the cross when his apostles have abandoned him. So they approached the grave to finish preparing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ for the burial. To them, he was not just the Lord when he was alive, performing miracles, doing all great things, even when he laid on in the tomb. He was still as precious as he was when he was alive. So they went to prepare his body for the burial, something that sometimes we lose sight of. They bought the very expensive spices, the same spice that was poured on Jesus, which arose envy from the heart of Judas Iscariot. This is the same spices that these ladies bought to go and anoint the body of Jesus. So as they were approaching, something happened. They expected to find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ lying in the tomb with a big stone on the mouth of the tomb. But they were in for a great surprise. When they got there, something else happened. For the earth shook as the angel of the Lord descended to answer the question that they've been mowing on the way as they're going to the grave. They were asking, when you read the Gospel of Mark, we find that they were asking themselves, who will roll away the stone from the mouth of the grave? Because they were women, those stones were very heavy. And the Lord heard that. Yes, there was a stone that was going to be a hindrance, but that stone couldn't stop them to go and continue to worship the Lord that they loved. And as the angel descended, the Bible tells us that he came with his glory that overwhelmed the Roman soldiers who were guarding the grave. And I'm sure they messed themselves up. The Bible simply says they were as dead men. When men get that scared, the whole Lord goes on there. And these were soldiers. We're not just normal men like you and I. These were people who were trained. These were hard-hearted, cold soldiers. They couldn't stand the glory of the angel. And the women approached. And the angel says to them, fear not. Don't be afraid, because I know what you're about. That's the difference. The soldiers were there for another purpose. The women came for the purpose that honors God. And the angel said to them, fear not. That was the great news for them, because I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. Wow. That's a momentous news. That's the news that's been echoing through eternity. It's going to continue till the Lord Jesus Christ comes to establish his glorious kingdom. So the stone was rolled away by the angels, not so that the Lord could come out, but so that these women could go in and examine the evidence. So the angel said on the stone, which he has rolled away, the soldiers who were there, I'm sure they were flat on their bellies. And the women approached, and the angel preached this powerful message to them that morning. And that is the message I want to share with you this morning. The message of the resurrection of our glorious Lord. There are three main points that I'd like to draw to your attention this morning. The first point is the comfort of the resurrected Lord. Verse 1 tells us that early in the morning, on Sunday, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to view the tomb. They've been there when Christ was crucified. They saw him died. They saw him buried. They knew where his tomb was. The disciple didn't. So Mark tells us what these women went to do. In Mark 16 verse 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" It is a comforting thing to know that even before you ask the Lord knows your need. They were not praying. They were talking among themselves as they were going to worship, to serve, to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God answered without them asking him. The angel came and solved the problem. And that is our God, dear friend. The Bible over and over again tells us that he knows what we need before we ask. But he likes us to ask him. But even if you don't ask him, I don't think you pray every time you breathe for God to give you the next breath. You don't. And he gives you anywhere. And we take it for granted as a given. It is a precious gift to be able to draw the breath. He is that loving God. And these ladies, they go into the grave. They've been through a lot. They've been part of his arrest, crucifixion, burial. And they have left everything to follow the Lord. And their hearts were already heavy because they've seen the Lord being humiliated and dying the death of curse. They have heard him crying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" They didn't hear the answer from God. So they needed some comfort, of which they did receive from God. And that great comfort, it was the great news, the momentous news that Jesus has risen. He's alive. He's not there. You can go and examine the evidence that he is not there. Yes, he was laid in that tomb, but he is alive, says the angel. And my dear friend, this is the message that should give us courage. The message that should comfort our hearts in spite of whatever problems that we might be going through. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He is reigning. He is in charge. He is your mediator between you and God. And he intercedes on your behalf while the Spirit of God intercedes for you from within you. They were worried about things that they were going through with regard to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you are worried about something that is going on in your life, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows. And I can assure you, He knows what you're going through. He understands. And He is a sympathetic priest suited for you. So everything has changed. We should fear nothing. If death has been defeated, which is the great enemy, we should fear nothing. Everything has been changed. Death's no longer your enemy. He is your friend, child of God. Listen to how Paul talks about death. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 8. Paul says these words, because of the resurrection of the Lord, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. That simply means another body, better body, fresh body, wrinkless body. It's got no wrinkles, I can assure you. It's perfect. The neck is superb. If you know what I mean. I find that when it's hot, I begin to sweat on my neck. And I know that I'm really getting old. And when I look up, I can see that my neck's got two colors. It's true. That's what happened as you age. So you got all the signs to remind you that you're really getting old. You're not young. But the body that we're going to have that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is the body that will never grow old. The body that will be fresh, will never be tainted by any aging or any sickness. So he says a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And verse 8, he says, yes, we are of good courage, and we will rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. He's talking about death there. There is no way, unless the Lord comes now and raptures us home, to desire to go home now, you just desire to die. That's the only way. That's the option you got. That other one is completely known by the Lord and is controlled by Him. And it will happen when He started. But Paul here, he is talking about death. And in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, he said, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Without the cross, without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us hope of resurrection, we can never, ever think that way about death. You want to know how we're terrified about death? Just look at how many medical aid insurance we have. How much we're paying there. We pay more than we are saving. Because we're scared of death. We don't want to go to Marin Hill Hospital or Arke Khan Hospital. It's not even a hospital. I would rather die at home than going to that place. Because it doesn't give you an ounce of hope to go there, of getting better. So we pay this medical aid insurance so that we can go to better facility. It's good to do that, but behind that, we are scared to death of death. But as a child of God, we shouldn't. Death is not an enemy to us. So they receive this comfort from God, the greatest comfort of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is alive. No wonder later when Jesus met them, He says to them, rejoice. That's the meaning of greetings. Chariot, rejoice. Because that is a comforting news. So as a child of God, you need not to be afraid of anything simply because Jesus is alive. He conquered death for you. The second main point that I want us to look at is the challenge of the resurrected Lord. There is a comfort that should give us courage, as we will hear later, to go on to share the great news of his resurrection, just as they were commanded to do so. But there is also a challenge that is issued by the angel here in verse 6. They are commanded by the angels to believe. Listen to what verse 6 says. You might wonder, where do you get that they're commanded to believe? You see it. He is not here, says the angel, for he has risen as he said. That's what they are to believe. They are to believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said before his crucifixion. And that's the message for all of us right there. We read the promises of God, we believe them with our minds, but practically on the street level, we do not really believe that. We don't live them out. We know what he says, but in the face of this, it can't be true for me. That's what caused panic to us children of God. As though God did not know you're gonna be where you are, whether with your health or with your situation, whatever situation that you're going through, God knew that. He actually knew it before he created you. He's not surprised. That's what makes him to be worthy of our trust. He's got the perfect, complete plan of our lives in details. He knows what's going to happen after the service. You don't know. You got plans and you don't even know that they're going to come true. But God knows. Trust him and trust him alone, child of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken to them before his crucifixion. You remember in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 22, he talks about his crucifixion in this way: the Son of Man, saying to his disciples, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. He told them. So when the angel said to them, he is risen just as he said, is referring to statements like this that the Lord Jesus Christ has made. But of course, they did not really believe that. They only believed that after he arose from the dead. They believe in walking by sight, you know, unless Thomas said, unless I see it and I put my hand, I won't believe it. And that's how we are. And Christianity does not work that way. Because if you develop that kind of mentality, you will never believe that you are forgiven. Because there's nothing you can see, nothing you can feel. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you're feeling like a rotten sinner. But the fact of the matter is that you are forgiven, not based on how you feel, on how your performance are, based on the work of Jesus Christ. But we don't feel anything. We don't see anything. But we are commanded to believe that. Your salvation depends on that. And that's how the promises of God works, dear friend. God speaks the word to us, wanting us to believe that, so that we can redeem ourselves from being anxious. Trust me, God says, when I say something is as good as done. So he told them that he will rise from the dead. But they did not believe it. So they were surprised when they found that indeed he did rise from the dead. And they went and see that empty tomb, and they examined the evidence of his resurrection, and they realized that what he said, it will happen, it has happened. Why did we not believe it? And the angel issued a challenge after that. He urged them, he commanded them to believe by reminding them what Jesus had said. Remember that and believe that and go examine the evidence. He's not in the grave. And then he issued the challenge to them to examine the evidence. Come, see the place where he laid, of which they did. And they find that the tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. That simply means every word he has spoken is a summons to believe. What he says is true. You are to believe it. So we need not to fear anything as Christians. We just need to trust the risen Savior. He's in control. He's in charge. The third and final main point that I'll draw to your attention, dear friend, is the command of the resurrection. And it's the nature of the Easter message. It's got this command, as you can see it here in Matthew. We are commanded to rejoice, dear friend. And we are commanded to tell others. Those are two commands that I want us to look at from this passage, because I find them, they're very important, they're relevant, and we need to be reminded of them. They are commanded to go tell. Verse 7 to verse 8 of Matthew 28, we read these words, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. They departed with mixed emotion. They received the command to go tell. They were afraid. I will assume that is because they haven't really seen the Lord with their eyes. And they obeyed. And as they were running, they saw the Lord. He didn't present himself to them when they were standing still. It's when they were in action, when they were moving in obedience to the command to go tell Jesus' disciples, that Jesus presented himself to them. That's how it works. God asks you to do something is when you take the step to act in obedience, to do what God says you must do, that God gives you the power that you knew you don't have to do it. Do you get that? That's how faith works, is obedient and the empowerment. It's not the empowerment because you don't need it. You haven't decided to obey. Once you decide, you do it. They did it in spite of their mixed emotions. They were not crippled by fear. So that's how our faith works. And I want us to notice that it is only after they themselves have discovered the facts of the risen Lord that they were in the position to go and tell others. They had to discover themselves. They have to examine the evidence themselves before they were in the position to go and tell others about the resurrection of the Lord. Matthew here uses the Greek word epo to describe what he means, what the angel meant by to these women to go tell. It's a very strong, pregnant word. It's a word which means to bring the word to people that you are sent to, or to call people to something of great importance, or to command people to believe what you're telling them. It is not something that you go and sit down and have a cold drink and talk like you're telling them about some myth. It's something that demands conviction from your side, the teller. That's why you have to be convinced yourself before you can be in the position to tell. Sometimes we are afraid to share the gospel because we are not convinced ourselves. If you are convinced about the gospel, fear won't stop you. Nothing will stop you. It's a do or die message that has been entrusted to you, and you will do well to obey. If you are a Christian, you are commanded to tell others. If you don't, you need to ask yourself, do I really believe it? So the angel said, go tell his disciple. That's the command that we see here. And the second one is the command to rejoice. Look at verse 9 to 10. And behold, Jesus met them. Wow. Remember, they are going, they are running, overwhelmed with joy and fear, but committed to obey the command to go tell. And as they were doing that, behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings, good morning, charade, rejoice. Wow. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus repeats the word that they received from the angels, the word of comfort, do not be afraid. Fear not. The same message they received to the angel, do not be afraid. Jesus gave them the same message, because the angels was actually bringing that message from the Lord. Do not be afraid. I don't know what you're afraid of. I know what I'm afraid of. I'm not going to tell you because you're not going to tell me what are your fears. But the bottom line, we have that fear thing in common. You are afraid of something. And God is saying, do not. If you trust him, you need not to be afraid. Do not be afraid. You remember Jesus described our faith to be childlike faith? A child is not worried. The only time the child is fearful is when they do not see the parent. You have the Spirit of God inside you 24/7 as a seal that you belong to Jesus. And he don't want us to be afraid of anything. He is God. It is an insult to God for his child to be afraid, because there is nothing that is bigger than God. Everything is under his control. Satan is his creature. He's not his opponent. We need to get that theologically correct in our thinking. We think about the devil as God's opponent. He's not. He's God's creature. He's completely under God's leash. He is controlled by God, your Father. So don't be afraid of anything. So Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. It's even better. We are his brothers and his sisters, and he's not ashamed to call us that. You know that? That authenticate your birthright as a child of God. For Jesus, who is not really merely the Son, he is God the Son. He calls you, he calls me, brother or sister. Go tell my brothers, they're going to see me in Galilee. But in doing that, rejoice. I'm alive. Go tell. It haven't changed. If we seriously believe the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the soon returning king, we would be telling people like crazy about the Lord. Look around you. I mean, literally. Look around you in this building. Do that, please. Turn your eyes, look the empty pews next to you. They are talking to you and me. They are made for people to sit in as they listen to God speaking to them through the Bible. And you know who's supposed to do that? I'm sure you're thinking, good enough. That's what we pay you for. First of all, we don't pay anybody. God pay people that works for him. We give to God. Okay? That has been taken care of. You and I are responsible, equally responsible, to tell people about the Lord. That's why it becomes extremely important that you sign up. If you don't know how, if that is the excuse, you don't know how to share the gospel, I want to see your name there as your pastor. And I want to see you on Saturday, coming for training, so that we are all equipped to talk about this great news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, of course, the joy that he's talking about here, Jesus Christ, when he said, rejoice, chered, good morning, greetings, it simply means, be of joy. It's the state of joy which is brought about by something that brings joy. And in this case, the joy is brought about the resurrection of the Lord. That should fill you with joy. I'm not talking about laughing, but I'm talking about the radiating joy of the Lord that is in you, even when you are in tears as a child of God. That's the joy that is not subject to circumstances. It's the joy that calms you down in the middle of the storms of life. The joy that says, come down, Jesus is alive. He's your king. He knows what you're going through. Just as he said, he will be with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He knows. So that's the kind of joy that Jesus is talking about here. It's the joy that is inward. The joy that is solid, living and lasting. The joy that it doesn't leave us as children of God. And that's the real joy we receive from the risen Lord. So he commanded them and us today to rejoice as we go tell people. That is your mission. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. Jesus wants us to tell people. Otherwise, if it was just for heaven, you would have died the day you gave your life to the Lord. Why are you here? Oh, you say for sanctification, that process will be completed when you get out of this body anyway. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is for you and I to tell people that Jesus is alive after dying for their sins. He conquered death. He is the hope giver for the resurrection. Death no longer our enemy, it's our friend. Of course, the meaning of the resurrection of the Lord can be explained in many different ways, but I like what Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 to 31. Listen to these words. You might be sitting here celebrating these religious calendar days religiously, and you've been doing this for many times. I want you to understand, what are you doing when you do that? Acts 17, verse 30, 31, the Apostle Paul, after explaining the gospel, the God that he was preaching about to these Athenians who had a lot of different altars of different gods and the altar of the unknown God. And Paul says, I want to talk about the God that you don't know. And he says these words at the end of his presentation, verse 30, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. That's a command, to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Repent, because judgment is coming. And God has made sure, he has given us assurance. What is that assurance of the judgment day? Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all, how? By raising him from the dead. As a child of God, is an encouraging and comforting message. As an unbeliever, it is a warning. Judgment is coming. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means, at least from God's point of view, is the assurance from God that the judgment day is coming. What should you be doing now? You should be doing repenting and believing If you're not doing that, you're going to be crushed when the Lord comes again. That's what resurrection means. Judgment is coming. For the saved, fear not, rejoice. Unsaved, judgment is coming. Repent and believe the gospel. In closing, I'd like to just leave you with these questions. Do you believe that Jesus died for you as a child of God? Do you really believe that? You believe that he was resurrected from the dead? You do believe that? Do you tell people that news? If you don't, ask yourself, do I really believe it? Do I really believe it? If I'm not telling people that news, that simply means I don't really fully believe it. I'm not convicted. That's a news worth sharing. Do you rejoice in this great salvation? Every born again child of God should be filled with this joy of knowing that Jesus is alive, which simply means his sacrifice was perfectly accepted by God, enough never to be repeated again for your sin and my sin. Let's allow the joy of God to spell us on as we tell people about Jesus. I want us to bow our head in prayer. And I've asked you that you are to sign your name, not for good enough, not for CCP, for the Lord who died and rose again for you. Please, it's time to step up. God has provided people to equip us so that we can become effective witnesses of Jesus Christ. Please do come. And so, sign up at the foyer there. I'm looking forward to see you on Saturday. And if you're not a believer and you want to be one this morning, whether you're here in the building or you're listening online, it makes no difference. I want you to repeat this prayer of committing your life to the Lord, a prayer of repentance from your heart. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God the Son, and I believe you died for me on the cross. You were buried, and you rose on the third day and ascended to heaven. I believe that you coming back to take me home together with brothers and sisters who trust in you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to cleanse me from my sin, to forgive me, to make me whole. And please help me never to be ashamed of you. Help me to tell others. And thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Father God, I thank you for our time together around your word. I thank you, Lord, for challenging us with this message of your resurrection. I pray, Father, that by your Spirit you will empower each of us to tell others about this great, momentous news of your resurrection. And I pray, Lord, that as we do so, by your Spirit you will work in their heart to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you will save many people through this message for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.